This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
There was an ad several years ago that appeared in the New York Times. This is what the ad was. Peace of mind in 10 minutes for $3.98. Now, wouldn't that be something? If a person could have peace of mind in 10 minutes and pay less than $4 for it. Well, I don't think you're going to get it that way. But all of us want peace of mind, don't we? We also would like to have the assurance of our salvation. Peace comes through assurance. We want to talk about that today on Getting to Know Your Bible. I'm Billy Lambert. I am the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And we're delighted to have you watching today, especially if this is your very first time to watch the telecast. We have those that watch every time we're on the air. We appreciate your loyalty. Now, today on our telecast, we're going to be offering a free Bible correspondence course. In order that you might know more about the course and how to receive it, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm going to read two passages of Scripture today to begin our lesson. The first one is in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, the 26th chapter, and verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So Isaiah talked about having perfect peace. You can't improve on perfect peace. But how do we have perfect peace? Colossians 3:15, or at least the first part of that passage, reads, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." If we were trying to define the word peace, we would define it like this. It's an inward calm or tranquility. And it appears to me, and maybe that I'm the only one that's made this observation, that there seems to be among people today a lack of peace. I see people that are so frustrated today. I see people that are whose lives are just filled with so much anxiety. And there's so many things that are going on in our world that can cause that. When you think about inflation, you think about the price of gasoline, you think about the open borders that we have in our country, you think about the war that's raging in the Ukraine, you think about all that's going on today. People are very fearful, and they're lacking in peace in their lives. And many of them, many perhaps even watching right now, do not have the assurance of their salvation. There was a man that was seen by the side of the road. He had wrecked his car, and he was just throwing money up into the air. And he said, "I don't want money. I just want peace of mind. I just want peace of mind." Well, we live in this world that's filled with confusion and chaos and turmoil. But God's plan and God's desire that we have hearts that are filled with peace. And we can have peace. We can have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 reads like this, "Therefore, we're having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we can have peace with God. We can have peace with other people. Paul said in the Roman letter, "Provide things which make for peace." We need to provide things or do things in our lives trying to be peacemakers. But we need to have peace with ourselves. And there are those watching that are not really peaceful, at peace with yourself. There's a war raging in your heart today. And there's that empty place in your heart. You don't know why. But there's a place in your life, there's a place in your heart where God belongs, where Jesus belongs. And you will never be at peace until you make peace with God and peace with Jesus. Be at peace. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 6, beginning, Paul wrote, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And to have peace with God, one must have confidence in his or her salvation. Or to put it another way, to really be at peace with ourselves and really to be a peacemaker, we've got to be confident that we have made peace with God. But why would people be lacking in that peace? This may sound like a rather simplistic answer, and perhaps it is. But nonetheless, I believe it to be true. We're lacking in peace with God, with others, and peace within our own hearts because Satan has been allowed to be in control with our lives. Satan is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And we have allowed Satan to rule and reign in our minds and in our hearts. In Acts, the 5th chapter, Ananias and Sapphira lied to God and they lied to the Holy Spirit. But here's the question that he was asked. Why has Satan filled your heart? You see, he was not right with God because Satan was in control. What does Satan do when he gets a hold of our hearts? Well, he causes doubt to come into our minds. That's exactly what he did with Mother Eve in Genesis, the 3rd chapter. And he said, "Well, didn't God, did God tell you that if you eat of that fruit that you're going to die?" He said, "Well, yeah, God has said." And she said, "Yes, God said that we would die." He said, "I'll tell you, you'll not die." And he began to sow doubt as to the truthfulness of what God said. There are those today that sow doubt in the minds of others as to the truthfulness of the Word of God Almighty. And as a result, Satan gets control of those lies. And he causes people to drift away from the Lord who at one time were on fire for Jesus, enthusiastic for Jesus, zealous for truth, zealous for what is right. And so I think people are lacking because in reality, they've let Satan have control and they've drifted away from what was right. There are members of the Church of Christ that are watching this telecast right now who may have not been in a worship service in the last 2 or 3 years or longer. I remember many years ago, a member of the Church of Christ that was watching the telecast. He came back to the church one Sunday, and when we had the invitation song, giving people an opportunity to get their lives right with God, he walked down the aisle, and he made this statement, "I've been watching you for the last 7 years. I haven't been to church in 7 years, but then I've come back home." And I want to urge you to come back home if you've been away for a long time. Come back home as soon as you possibly can. You see, Satan wants us to drift away from the Lord. But when we lack peace of mind, have you ever thought about the results of that? When we lack peace of mind, there is no assurance. Several years ago, as a matter of fact, the year was 1975. I was preaching in a gospel meeting in a certain city in northeast Alabama, and I was staying in the home of the preacher. So they put me in the guest room, and in that room, the preacher had some of his books. Now, you will not put a preacher in a room with books and expect him not to look at them, will you? And I began to look at some of his books, and there was one in particular that fascinated me. That is the title of the book. And it was on people's psychological disorders. And so I thought, well, let me read that and see if maybe I can find out what's caused my psychological disorder. And I'm saying that facetiously, of course. I was absolutely amazed to learn that one of the reasons, now I might emphasize not the only reason, but one of the reasons that people have emotional problems, sometimes it's because a lack of assurance of their salvation. But you see, the Bible says you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We can have that assurance. They lack the assurance of their salvation because they're not sure where they stand with God. Their zeal begins to lag. I've known of people that at one time were just a ball of fire for Jesus. I mean, they couldn't talk to people enough about Jesus. And they were so involved in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've actually seen preachers like this. And then you see them later, and maybe they just looks like there's been cold water poured all over their soul. They're no longer on fire. They're no longer zealous for the Lord. What's happened to them? And if you get to digging down into it, there's some doubt in their minds about their salvation. There was a friend of mine who was very successful in business, and so I asked him one day, I said, let me ask you this question. I said, from a businessman's point of view, what would you do to encourage zeal, enthusiasm, drive, whatever you like to call it, in the church? I said, to get away from this lukewarmness that the Lord talked about to the church at Laodicea, to stir up zeal. He said, you want me to really tell you why I think there are people in the church that are not zealous for the Lord? Well, I said, I guess that's what I'm asking. He said, because they're not really sure they're saved. Well, how could you be zealous for the Lord? How could you be enthusiastic about something if you're not really convinced that you are saved? And then I think when we lack that assurance of salvation, it causes us to have a morbid fear of death. Paul had no morbid fear of death when he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. He said, I'm ready to be offered. And he meant to die. Could you say that right now? I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Now, I suppose most of us are like the man who said, I have no fear of death. But oh, the crossing. See, that's the unknown. But when we lack the assurance of our salvation, it causes us not to be able to recommend Jesus to someone else. There was a preacher came to town. He's going to preach that night, and so he needed to mail a letter. did not know where the post office was. He saw a little boy walking down the street. He pulled over to the curb, and he rolled his window down. He called the little boy over to his car, and he said, "Son, can you tell me how to get to the post office?" He said, "If you'll tell me how to get to the post office, you come to hear me preach tonight, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." He said, "Mister, if you don't know how to get to the post office, why should I trust you in telling me how to get to heaven?" He said, if I don't know I'm saved, how can I recommend Jesus to someone else? I think about Psalm 66 in verse 16. "Come and hear all ye fear the Lord, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." But if you're not certain that the Lord has done anything for your soul, you don't have anything to declare. So you see, there are consequences when we are lacking that peace and that assurance. Well, someone says, is it possible to have it? Is it possible to have peace of mind because you can be assured that you're saved? Well, is there anything when it comes to salvation and our soul's conditions about which we can be sure? Well, on the day of Pentecost, Peter was addressing the Jews that were gathered in the city of Jerusalem, and he said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ." So Peter was saying, you can be certain, you can be sure, you can be assured that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, Numbers 33 and verse 23 says, "Be sure your sins will find you out," so you can be sure about that. In Romans, the second chapter, Paul said, we are sure that the judgment shall be according to truth. So you see, there are things about which we can be certain, that we can be sure. But someone says, "I'm not positive that I can be sure about salvation." I remember preaching in a revival once in northern Alabama, and there was a man, and I'd preached on assurance that night, not this sermon, but another sermon on the assurance that we ought to have as Christians. And a man said, "I wish I could be sure." He said, "I teach a Bible class," but he said, I tell you, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I really don't know." And I thought, "And you're teaching a Bible class and you're not sure you're saved?" One man told me, "I'll not be sure until they take me out there," and he pointed to the cemetery right beside this church building, "and they plant me down in the ground." You better be sure now. God wants you to be sure. God, somebody says, I just don't know that you can be. Well, let's just listen to what some of the Bible writers had to say about that. Listen to what Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 10. "Make your calling and election sure." You can be sure about your calling and your election. Your calling as a God's child, you can be sure about it. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1. "We know therefore that if this earthly house of our tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Paul said that's something about which you can be sure. In Romans 8 and 28, he said, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to his purpose." We can be sure about God working for good in the lives of his people, people that love him with all of their hearts. Well, what about some of the other Bible writers? Well, what about John that wrote the book of 1 John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John? Well, in 1 John chapter 2, John in verse 3 wrote, "For we know that we know him." I was up early one Sunday morning, dressed, ready to go to my office. For some reason, I thought that you needed to be in your office on Sunday morning, maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours before anyone else got there. Now, I've changed my habits in recent years. I don't do that anymore, but I was dressed, ready to go. The telephone rings. A young woman was on the line, and she said, "Is this Billy Lambert?" I said, "Yes, it is." And she said, "Well, I just flew into town. I thought I'd give you a call." And I took from that that she might have been an airline stewardess. I wasn't positive about that. I didn't ask. She said, and she told me her name, and which I do not recall, but she said, "We met in Detroit." Well, I've been in Detroit, Michigan since then, but I had not ever preached in Detroit up to that point. He said, "That's where we met." I said, "Well, I don't rightly remember that." She said, "You are Billy Lambert, aren't you?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, what are you doing up so early?" I said, "Well, I've already gotten dressed and I'm about to go." I use a term that she would understand. "I'm about to go to church." I don't think you go to church, you go to worship. But the church goes to worship. But that may be a subject for another day. And she said, "Church? What are you doing going to church?" I said, "Well, among the many reasons that I'll be going today is I'm going to preach." And she almost screeched this out. She said, "Preach?" I said, "Yes." She says, "I do have the wrong number, don't I?" And I promise you, she had the wrong number. "You see, could I ask you a question?" I said, "Yes, you may." She said, "Do you know God?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She says, "How do you know God?" I had never been asked that question before or since. But I was so thankful for 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. I said, I know Him because to the best of my knowledge and ability, I'm striving to do what He tells me to do. She said, "I wish I could know God like other people do. But I love beautiful clothes and I like fast living." Well, ladies, there's nothing wrong with the nice dresses, beautiful clothes. But to know God, living in the fast lane of life, will have to go. I've often wondered what happened to that young woman. Do you know God? John says we know Him. How do we know Him? If, here's the condition of your assurance, we keep His commandments. And if you're lacking in peace in your life today, and you're lacking in assurance, you're going to have to come to the foot of the cross. And regardless of who you are or where you are, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. You see, we have peace through the blood of His cross. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Sin stirs the wrath of God. I want you to call attention to the book of Romans chapter 1, verse 18, where the apostle said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The word "hold" there means to suppress. God's wrath is revealed against all of those who reject Him and reject His truth. His wrath is revealed against all of those who turn their backs upon Him and they turn their backs upon His holy word. I don't know about you, but I for one do not want to experience the wrath of God. And we will never have peace through assurance until we learn how to deal with the wrath of God. Let me call your attention back to the book of Romans, this time chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 9. There we learn that God loved us, this is in verse 8, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But verse 9 says, much more then, being justified by His blood, we are saved from wrath. There's that word wrath again, through Him. We're saved from the wrath of God by the cross. We're saved from the wrath of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason I say if you're going to have peace through assurance, you've got to come to the foot of the cross. You've got to lay it all down at the foot of the cross. There's a song we often sing, kneel at the cross. And we need to kneel at the cross of Jesus Christ today. We're living in the 21st century for sure. We're nearly two millenniums away from the time Jesus walked the face of this earth. Times have changed in many ways, but the needs of man are the same. Man is a sinner. And his sin stirs up the wrath of God, and Jesus dealt with sin when He died on the cross. And for us to have our assurance and to make our peace with God, we've got to be willing to bow to the will of God. Jesus said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. And His will is that we believe on Him, John 8 and verse 24. His will is that we repent of sin, Luke 13, verse 3. His will is that we be willing to confess Him before men if we want to be confessed before God, Matthew 10, 32, 33. And His will is that we submit to water baptism, a burial in water, for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. Our sins then are washed away. We live faithful Christian lives, and when this life is over, heaven will be our home. But the benefit now is once we have peace with God, we have assurance of our salvation. Do you have that assurance? I'd encourage you to become a child of God today. And He'll add you to His family. He'll add you to the church for which Jesus Christ died on the cross. I want to thank you for watching today. And we appreciate those who will watch today for the very first time. Tune in at the same time every week. And right now, pick up the telephone and request the free Bible correspondence course. I invite you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. If you're not certain where it's located, we have people call all the time to find the location of the Church of Christ where they live. I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214.